Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Not only is the Lord good all the time, but He's good when you're bad. Amen. He's good when we're bad. He don't change. You know, that I think that's one of the major things in the areas of, you know, people trying to change God. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know. And we think that God's going to go along with what we want and hope that He'll change His mind, change this, change that. But He doesn't change. He's the same. Listen, He wants to bless us in everything. He wants to grant us favor. He wants to move. But there's something that we've got to talk about, which the Holy Spirit quickened me this morning. It's called transitions. Transitions. And there's many times that we resist the transitions of the Lord. Now, transitions can be a life-changing event. It can be brought by revelation. It can be brought by sickness. It can be brought by anything. Now, one of the things the enemy wants to do is get you to involved in a life-changing event and transition from following God. Hello. In these transitions, we can utilize these transitions that the Lord is doing as a warning, as a correction, as a change of life. You know, I think sometimes we take life for granted and we really lose sight of who we are. You know, I was driving home the other night and again it hit me because the moon was bright and big, but the moon didn't change. But my visualization, because of the transition of the distance or however the earth was rotating, it looked huge. And I thought, my God, I'm on a planet. And this has happened to me more than once. And it's the reality that we're on a planet. You know that? We are on a planet in a universe that was created by Jesus. All things were created in Him and through Him. And we are on one of the planets. Life sustaining. Just the reality of that. Knowing that I was driving on a planet. It'd be like, look at how people are amazed. Look at, they're driving on the moon. Well, we're driving on the earth. And we just don't even think about it. We just, because we were born in it, it's just the same, nothing changes, you know. The earth is the earth. The wind still blows, it still rains, it still snows, depending where you are. So in this, it just brought me in that transition again, a refresh, revival in that arena of what my connection is. And many times we need to get reconnected. See, we're doing the motions but not being reconnected. We're doing the rituals, but not being reconnected. Because there's something the Word says, seek me with all of your heart. And you know what? You'll find Him. Many people want a touch from God. Many people want a visitation from God. Many people want to know what the truth is. And it really does come when you seek Him with all of your heart. When you're willing to lay down everything and anything to want to know who He is, He will reveal Himself to you. He will. But there's an area where you must let go of everything. You must be willing to let go of everything. Everything. Nothing matters but to know you. Nothing matters but to know you. It doesn't mean you don't love your family. It doesn't mean, but you must be willing to let go of everything. The priority in our life as a Christian is to know Him. That's priority. Because if you don't know Him, you can't be a Christian. How can you call yourself a Christian? How can we call ourselves Christians if we don't know Him? Why? Because to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to obey Him. You know, there's something that He paid tremendously on the cross. Not only did He pay for our sins and the exchange of life, but He paid for an exchange of nature, that we could carry His nature. That is the greatest transition that anyone can have individually, is to be born again of the Spirit and the exchange of nature from a sinful character of death to a character of life, a different nature. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Many individuals have had transitions because of their choices, and they became life-changing events that have pushed them from God instead of brought them to God, because it was their choice, not God's choice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 16, would you read it with me, please? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh or according to the carnal nature. Is everybody with me? Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Why? We don't look at Jesus as being Jesus anymore, because if you see him the way he is now, he don't look the same at all. Verse 17. Now he used that prior to this verse to give us an example. Stop looking at the things naturally and carnally, because this is who you are. Stop looking at yourself as a carnal state of being and start looking at yourself as an eternal state of being. And he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I want to share with you that word new creation means you are a new existence. Everyone say, I am a new existence. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In other words, we are a new existence. We are new. And of course, with cooperation, you'll keep this new existence. You will fight for it. You will feed it. You will protect it. And you'll maintain it. But you first must have a reality that you are a new creation or a new existence. I am no longer the old person. That person has died and is still crucified. I am not only a new creation in Christ, but I am a new existence. Why? Because with a new existence, you see everything differently. You hear everything differently. Everything is different. That's what really a new creation in Christ is. We are a new existence. In 2 Peter chapter 1. And how was that established? What a transition. The greatest transition is to be born again. That salvation of being born again in the Spirit is the greatest transition. And only through Christ on the cross could that transition come. He changed everything. Think about the transitions in your life that started good, but you didn't maintain them, and they went sour. Or the things that were tough, and those transitions in your life that worked to the good. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied, read it with me, to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue. Now listen, what is he saying? He's saying this divine power, which of course is the anointing. Again, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. The knowledge of the one that manifested your new existence. That's what he's saying. And the knowledge of, what do you mean the knowledge? The one that recreated you, that gave you a new existence. You not only got a new life, we got a new existence, because that's what a new life is. It's a new existence. And we keep allowing the mirror to tell us who we are. We keep allowing people to tell us who we are. We keep allowing circumstances to tell us who we are. Not allowing the knowledge of him, the truth of him, and the promises of him to tell us who we are. This word virtue is associated with a high behavior of showing a high moral standard. In other words, above carnality character. It's above it. It says, and by which, verse 4, has been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the what? Divine nature. That divine nature is that new existence which Jesus made available for me and you. He exchanged his nature for yours and mine. Now we have a divine nature. But again, we must fight for it. We must protect it, we must feed it, and we must maintain it. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Why is he telling us things? He says add it to it. Why? Because it's going to perfect it. You're going to learn how to walk in it. It's almost like, did you ever see a scuba diver with a wetsuit? Man, you put on that wetsuit, it's tight. You got to zip up all of these things. And when I used to fly search and rescue, and I've also scuba dived, I was a certified diver. And man, you go into cold water, you want to make sure that suit's nice and tight. Any openings, you feel that cold water. It's like fitting on a whole new suit, a whole new life, a whole new person. So what has to happen is we have to deny ourselves and let that new nature take over, that divine nature, that new existence have his way. Is everybody okay? Verse 6, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, which is also known as patience, and to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Again, the divine power is the anointing, the knowledge of the one that manifested your new existence. He is the knowledge you want to know. His promises of truth, his presence, his power, that anointing allows us to become partakers of the divine nature. That divine nature is called an eternal character. Why? Because it is a new creation. It is a new existence. It is the divine character of Jesus Christ that dwells in me and you. And this anointing allows us to connect us to the life stream of the Creator to sustain us in a physical place. It sustains us here in this physical realm, the temporary realm, as an eternal citizen. Does everybody understand it? We are now eternal citizens. We don't belong here anymore. When we were born in this realm, we were born in sin and darkness, blinded, deceived. We were offsprings of darkness. So in that, we are a part of this realm, a part of this world, a part of this ruler of this world, a part of this existence. But God has made a way for me and you to be recreated with a new existence and a new life if we're willing to accept it, maintain it, protect it, feed it. In Romans 5, that carnal, I want to share something with you. So that moral standard that we have now, which is a behavior showing above the standard moral and integrity of carnality, we are now a new creation. We are now a new existence. And a carnal nature, which is a sinful nature, is the carnality character of death. It's a carnal character of death. Has everybody got it? It is called a sinful nature. Romans 5. Transitions. Paul, who became Saul, had a transition. Even Saul, when he hung around the prophets and the anointing came on him, had a transition. Why? Because it's the anointing that brings transitions. The anointing brings transitions. And the anointing keeps you in that change. Now, you can walk out of here and just, you can be get a transition through Revelation and walk out of here and toss it in the garbage, because God won't interfere with your free will. In Romans 5, verse 12, would you read it with me? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in a life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That is powerful. So sin reigned. The presence of evil is called sin. It is the character of death. It is called the carnal nature that feeds from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Christ Jesus hung on the cross on a tree, expressing to be the true tree of life, making an exchange of death for life, making an exchange for our carnal nature for a new existence of the eternal character, divine nature. And as a new existence, he allowed us to escape self. He allowed us to escape the matrix here. He allowed us to escape condemnation. He allowed us a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 1, let's read this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to what? Spiritual people, but as to what? Carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still what? Carnal. What do you mean? Like you're still allowing the fallen nature, the sinful nature to run your life. But I'm a Christian. You still have a choice of which one you're going to live. Does everybody get this? Everyone still has a choice. And we will be judged by the one we allow to live. For you are still carnal. But I'm a Christian. Look at this book. This epistle right here is written to believers, not unbelievers. This is written to believers. It is written to the church of Corinth, who was out of order. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. What's he mean? You're still acting, you're still allowing the sinful nature, the character of death, to run your life. And if you continue on that, you will die, because death promotes death. Hello? Carnal, sinful nature is the character of death. You can't, let me share with you, you cannot escape sin. You can't. You must overcome and conquer it. You can't escape it. Why? Because the world is ruled by sin. It's everywhere you go. It's everywhere. The presence of evil is everywhere. No matter where you drive on the road, you see it on billboards, you see it on TV, you see it everywhere you go. You can't buy anything without the promotion of sin. It's always promoting the carnal character. Always. So in that, you cannot escape the presence of evil. You can't escape sin. You must conquer it. Does everybody get it? See, it's our responsibility to remove it. That's why people are calling out to God, oh God, why didn't you do this? He's saying, why didn't you do that? I gave you all the weapons. Why aren't you consistent? Why aren't you in fellowship? Why aren't you learning? Why aren't you feeding the new existence I gave you? Why aren't you feeding that? If you'll feed that, you'll overcome. If you stay in that condition, see ya. The enemy will take you away. 2 Timothy. I think. Oh, hallelujah. Chapter 2. In verse 20, would you read it with me? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what does he mean by that? Cleanse himself from that what? Taking dominion and conquering what? The sinful nature. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Other than that, how can we be useful for the master if we're still letting the carnal life rule us? Prepared for every good work. You can't have good works. Good works according to the will of God. You may do good things out there, but are not accounted or credited to God because it's not according to His will. It's according to man's will. Verse 22, read it, please. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, love, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to what? Teach. Teach. Everyone should be able to teach. Well, if you're not learning, you can't teach. The world needs to learn. How can you be a believer and not be able to teach the word of God? Something ain't right. The word believe means to follow. Does everybody understand this? We should be able to teach the word of God. It's not made for a pastor. It's made for everyone. Every servant should be able to teach God's word at any time, in any place. and be prepared. Be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they might know the truth. And that they may come to their what? Senses and get our what? Transition, a revelation, something that's going to transition them back into the flow of God's timeline, God's will, and eternal life. So they can come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been captive to by him to do his will. In Romans 8, again, the greatest transition is salvation. Romans 8, starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Too many people stop there. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, great. I can go out and do anything I want, man. Yeah. No, you better finish the rest of this. Who do not walk according to the flesh or according to the carnal sinful nature, the character of death, but according to the Spirit, that new existence, the new man. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in likeness of a sinful flesh, carnal nature. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say righteous requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the... So how is the law that has sentenced me and you to hell severed from us by fulfilling the requirement of being what? Led by the Spirit. Does everybody get it? So if you're led by the Spirit, are you living a new existence? Yes. Everyone say, I don't belong here. This is not my home. I'm not going to live here forever. Thank God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go a little further. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh or carnal nature, they what? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, their thoughts are only about self. What can I do for me? How much more money can I make? How many more things can I buy? Oh, who am I going to marry right now? All of these things. Everything is about self. There's too many eyes. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In other words, what can I do to please you? Have you asked God that today? Lord, what can I do to please you? Is there something specific you'd like me to do today? Making connection. Lord, how can I better support your character in me? Sure got quiet in here, man. Again, flesh is a carnal nature. It says here, look at verse 7, or verse 6, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when you're out of peace, you're in the carnal nature. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh, in the carnal state of being, cannot please God. Why? Because God does not associate with sin. He doesn't associate with the presence of evil. Again, flesh is the carnal nature. It is the sinful nature. It is the character of death. It is a lover and servant of self. It is the offspring of Satan. Does everybody got it? That's why Satan still thinks we're his children. He wants us back. Acts 17. Paul was in Athens in the upper regions, and he saw all of these individuals worshiping statues and altars and all kinds of things that were there. And he found one that said the unknown God. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive, in verse 22, that in all things you are very religious. That you are very religious. You know that religion is associated with a belief system. And if the belief system is incorrect, it will cause a flawed perception. Many people have a belief system. There's many religions out there. I think one of the most important things is a human. Within them, there's a signal that's always repeating itself. What's the truth? 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 Always. And since I always wanted to know what the truth was. Always wanted to know what the truth was. Behind whatever. no matter what I did, even when I was a heathen out there, I still wanted to know what truth was. I still wanted to know why I was here. I wanted to know who I was and where I was going. What's going on? And then when truth came, it was a transition. Because truth does bring transitions. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in the temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him. Well, let me tell you, when you do, a transition comes. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature, the eternal character, the new existence, is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. In other words, that overlook is done with. There's no more overlooking. Right now, there's judgment in the house of God. God gives us multiple opportunities, and then he allows the enemy's transition to change a life. Why? Sometimes people need to eat more dirt to come to the reality and gratitude of what he has done and that we're still alive. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This new existence that supersedes anything in this realm to fulfill the mission purpose God's given me and you. See, with this new existence, we have a mission now. And this should supersede everything in our life. It is priority. Why? Because that's why we're born again. See, with a new existence, a new creation, a new character, an eternal character, there's a super mission given to each and every one here. Now, you may not know exactly your mission, but you could be being trained for your mission. And when a transition comes, it could be a part of your mission that you're supposed to be involved with. Everyone goes through training. Our training never stops. Even when we come out of boot camp, we go, you know, when I was in the military, I came out of boot camp, I went to training, aviation training, then self-defense training, and all of these other trainings, first aid training, all kinds of stuff. They allowed us a real taste to see what, you put about 20 guys in a room, and you put two masks in there, and they lock the door, and everybody has to share a mask. Yeah, you get to taste what it's really like. Everybody's, and they only do that for a few, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, something like that. But it was enough. It felt like forever. Everybody wanted to share that mask, man. It was a transition in my life. I hated that place. Tear gas. That's what it's called, tear gas. Tear gas. That's what it was. Everybody was crying like a baby, I'll tell you what. Yeah, tear gas. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read it together. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, do what? Turn away. Look at, in the last days, there'll be many traitors, betrayers, disrespectful, self-willed, independent, and prideful, corrupted minds, corrupted tongues, carnal character, ruling many Christians. Many Christians are in this category. And it's a shame that they're in this category. Why? Because they're allowing the carnal man to rule them. When they've been given the power, divine power, to maintain a divine nature, that new existence, Yet the old existence is still overpowering them. Why? Because God will not interfere with your free will. False Christianity, having a form of godliness but denying the power, staying away. Is everybody okay? It says, for this sort are those who creep into households, ministries, anything, and take captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they never can advance. They are limited. Go to a place and boom, that's it. Can't go any further because they're under that category. They are limited no matter what they try and do until they come to that area of complete surrender, complete submission, truly trusting God in everything, maintaining a divine order, maintaining a divine character, respect. You know, one of the things that the Lord is always looking for is loyalty. Where there's loyalty, there's respect. Without loyalty, there's no respect. Romans chapter 6. Transitions. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 5. Would you read it with me? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Does everybody see the word might? That means cooperation. When you see might, there's cooperation. Well, what is the cooperation? Jesus gave us the formula. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, of the carnal nature. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He who keeps himself denied, keeps himself denied. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. He lives to God. See, you must step back and ask yourself, am I living for him now? Or am I living for me? Am I living for him? Is my life set towards him? Are my decisions always involving him? Am I living for him or for me? Is everybody okay? Verse 11. Likewise, you also do what? Reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. See, this is a conscious effort, isn't it? To reckon yourself to be dead? You must acknowledge that. You must sense that. You must know that. Why? You must deny yourself. That's reckon yourself to be dead. Indeed, to reckon yourself to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its what? Lust. There, and do not present your members as instruments of what? Unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Everyone said, I've been resurrected. I'm a new creation. I'm a new existence. Yeah. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, what's God's grace? His plan to what? Escape. He's given us a plan to escape. Escape what? The deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Present yourselves to God as righteousness. Reckon yourselves dead, which means deny yourself. Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Transitions. Samson made a transition. Amen? The first transition was, well, I don't know if that was the first one. One of the bad transitions was when he ran into Lila. It was lust, wasn't it? Changed his whole life. They poked his eyes out. His final transition was he was going to sacrifice himself to try to fulfill the will of God. Unfortunately, it didn't help too much. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. He says that these are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him, also he is brought into what? Bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Again, when an individual re-entangles themselves back into the affairs of the world, re-entangles themselves in the back of the old character again, that person reacts, doesn't respond. There's an area of react instead of responding. They justify themselves by works, being deceived by unseen influence, not able to discern the true voice because they follow the voice of the stranger. They forget the great transition that was granted to them, but now they're moved by emotion, self-desire, fear, and lust. That is the greatest transition for me and you, is to be born again. It is a terrible transition to be turned away, moved away, misled away from the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we what? Lest we what? Drift away. Listen, if the enemy's always going to try and bring a transition in your life. He's going to try to prevent you from maintaining God's presence. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, we are signs and wonders. Just look around the room. You're all signs and wonders. That's a miracle in itself. But you got to ask yourself, am I really walking? Am I really walking in that new creation? Am I really maintaining that new existence? Am I really living for the Lord, or am I still living for myself? Am I making decisions according to his will or according to my desires? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, your salvation is the greatest transition and so many neglect it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll tell you about one of the second greatest transitions that's about to happen. In verse 13. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. It's not going to be a quiet takeaway. With the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised. I would say that's going to be a tremendous transition to those who are here on the earth. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's called the rapture, the removal. What a transition that's going to be. That's the second greatest transition. And it's going to follow 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Transitions. Is everybody there? Let's read it now. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. Transition. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. And so when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a transition. The hope of making it to that point. That's the next event that will be occurring. The next transition, according to scriptures, will be the rapture. In other words, new creation, new existence, right here. That's all we're waiting for, is a new body. You're going to shed the carnal mind. It will no longer interfere with you. The old man will stay here. Hallelujah. And we'll see the environment. Thing that bother me all my life. You're going to cut loose of that old dude. Praise be to God. So don't let him control you now. Amen. Don't let him. Acknowledge it. Know it. Be sensitive to it. But the voice that you hear, discern it. Don't just be led by anything you hear. And don't be led by everything you feel. Amen? Listen, if you're dead, then you're dead. Hello? You don't react, you respond. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Amen? Praise God. Transitions. Get ready for your next transition. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Yeah. Just fill us. Lift your hands to heaven and ask to be filled again. Refresh us, Lord, and fill us. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you. And we take this opportunity again, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness of any associations with the old man that plants corruptible seeds. We just allow you to crucify the old man that we could be led by your spirit, fulfilling the required law that keeps the old man behind us and you in front of us. We want to say thank you in Jesus' name.